Hey, my name's Zenu, and you're listening to Anti-Moon Boy News. We got a banger episode for you guys today. After the craziness of the price pump, we've now had a retracing and a purported reason of this price madness being another social engineering attack, mirroring what happened last year. Very similar circumstances, so we're going to be talking all about this, my thoughts on this. Is it possibly a psyop? Maybe. So we're going to be getting into that and the ramifications for Monero as well as for the CoinSwap ecosystem. So we're going to be talking all about that. We also have a story that's been kind of in Monero land about Cake Wallet adding Zcash support. So I'm going to go over that as well. And some other news tidbits. So it's going to be a good one. So please stick around. And as always, if you'd like to support the channel, I got merch at antimoonboy.com/merch. And you can send super chats at xmrchat.com/Zenu. But anyways, on Friday, we were given the news from a familiar face, Zach XBT, who is a chain analysis figure. He investigates hacks and situations where cryptocurrency needs to be traced. And he's been involved in many different cases, so he is a reputable source in that regard. We have to take what he says with a grain of salt, absolutely. But at the same time, it is a source, and it does match up with what's happening. Now, last week, if you recall, I'm sure you do recall this, Monero was just going out of its mind. I remember, I was just looking at the chart, and it was just like, just going up and up and up. I'd walk out of the room, come back, and it was even higher. I'm like, the fuck? Very weird. And I remember I recorded my podcast last week, and I think I did a pretty good job of kind of being grounded on that one, because it was kind of like, it didn't seem like, I felt like a hack was likely, which I didn't mention. You know, I also thought that it was possible that some of these Bitcoin Zcash influencers were maybe buying Monero. They probably are, actually, but the cause of this price pump wasn't some like DAT, right? No, it ended up being that this was another social engineering attack. Now, this is the tweet from Zach XBT, and he says, on January 10, 2026, at around 11 p.m., a victim lost $282 million worth of Litecoin and Bitcoin due to a hardware wallet social engineering scam. The attacker began converting the stolen Litecoin and Bitcoin to Monero via multiple instant exchanges, causing the XMR price to sharply increase. BTC was also bridged to Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin via ThorChain. He then gives the theft addresses, which amounted to 2.05 million Litecoin and 1,459 Bitcoin. And yeah, looking at the price chart, it does match up. Around January 11, you just saw Monero really start to tick up over the next couple days, reaching an apex on the 14th, where it was at like the high 700s. And then it just bled since then. And now we're kind of at this, looks like 580. We might have found support. So there you go. There's the Zenu price analysis. Yeah, it went up, it went down. Sound like a fucking idiot. So what is this, right? Like, what actually happened? Are we supposed to, should we believe this? Should we not believe this? Is this all fake, right? Is this all a psyop? I think it's possible it's a little bit of everything. But for the most part, I believe the story from Zach XBT. Now, very clearly, there is an organic demand for privacy. And this is not just Monero, just all ignoring cryptocurrency. ignoring everything, right? There is a demand for privacy, and especially digital privacy, right? This is growing over time. So logically, Monero, which has the best privacy fundamentals in cryptocurrency, it has that caked into the price. And even before all of this happened, we had been talking about this, the Monero price chart, and the way it's been just slowly and organically rising is very, very positive. So to begin, I would like to say that it is very much the fact that Monero is just being purchased and slowly purchased over time and held, and the demand of privacy growing, that this price chart is looking good regardless of whether there was some sort of hack or not. And people are absolutely speculating on Monero. There's definitely a lot of Bitcoiners who really appreciate Monero's fundamentals, like long-term crypto guys who really appreciate Monero, who are starting to buy Monero. I'm not really even seeing any like negative opinions about Monero anymore. You know, that was like very common in the past, where we would have like Bitcoin guys like arguing against Monero. I don't really see that much anymore. Maybe I just don't go looking for it. Or maybe they just all went off to their echo chamber, you know, with Noster and all that. But, you know, definitely there is a growing demand for Monero that is obvious. And when you look at that price chart and the organic growth, I mean, we're expecting to see this growth over time continue, right? And so that in and of itself is very positive news for Monero, okay? So we don't need like a hack to show us that Monero is organically growing anyways. However, just by looking at this chart, it's extremely obvious that someone started buying a lot of Monero on January 11th. It just lines up perfectly. So I've been seeing a lot of people saying that this is impossible. You know, they only had a couple $100 million worth of cryptocurrency. The Monero market cap increased by several billion. How is that possible? It's actually very possible for a couple of reasons. First off, these exchanges, they have very low liquidity. It's not like they have all the Monero in existence in their order books. They only have a limited amount. So when someone starts buying up all of that liquidity, the order books have to adjust in response to that, which they did. They started raising the price dramatically. So that's the first thing. The second thing is momentum. Someone starts buying a lot of a cryptocurrency, other people are going to be like, well, maybe we should start buying to ride the pump. And it just kind of snowballs from there. And I'm sure you guys are aware of this, we just breached an all-time high, right? So there's even more momentum from that, like that kind of price discovery, like, oh, how much higher can it go? So it really starts snowballing. At the end of the day, though, what do we know about the value of Monero, right? So like, this is all happening. The Monero price is increasing. The people who are selling Monero, they're trying to figure out what price Monero should be priced at to make at least a little bit of a profit relative to the people who are buying Monero, right? And so the order books are adjusting. And so, yes, the value of Monero, it did increase more than it probably should have, but that's why we're seeing a retracing. But whatever, this is all happening. But what can we say, right? What can we do to just ignore all this noise? It's that one Monero equals one Monero, right? One Monero, does it equal $700? One Monero, does it equal $550? One Monero, does it equal, you know, $2? Doesn't really matter. One Monero equals one Monero. So I saw a lot of people like, you know, arguing about these like estimates that are all fake anyways. Like it's just estimates. It's a exchange, or it's exchanges doing their best they can to find like an approximate value for cuck bucks. But like, who cares, right? I mean, of course, if you're a trader, you care, right? If you are trying to make a profit, you know, Fine. Speculation. You guys can do it. But it doesn't change the fact that one Monero equals one Monero. And that's kind of the key thing here. Furthermore, like, market cap is, like, very easy to fudge anyways. Because, like, if you've been in crypto for a while, you've seen absolute dog poo just pump, like, 3 billion percent, you know, overnight. And, you know, like, is that the actual market cap, or is that just a bunch of people buying the top and then later getting dumped on? You know what I mean? So I think this, like, price increase was definitely a mixture of this organic demand in privacy, this kind of pressure that's been building within Monero that needed to get released, the all-time high, and then on top of that, now you have someone who needed Monero. And the amount that they purportedly needed was, how much was it? $282 million. That's a lot of money. You know, that's not like a small fraction of something. That's a decent amount of cash. It's because it's like hard to say. Like, I'm sure these hacks happen relatively frequently. We just don't hear about them. But they're for amounts that are a lot less, right? So it's probably like $350,000 worth. We're not going to hear about that, right? Or, you know, a couple million even. $208 million, yeah, it's going to have an impact. And it's no surprise that a lot of these exchanges started to be bled dry. And so that's why the hacker also used ThorChain and bridged the Bitcoin over that way as well. To evade whatever chain analytical companies were after them, which is probably a lot of different a lot of different companies at the moment. So, is this story believable that Zach XBT puts forward? It is. I think it is for the most part. You know, with crypto hacks like this, it's kind of sad because I'm sure, like, if you look at the year, right, it's 2026. So people who were buying Bitcoin back in, like, 2010, 2011, who are just older now, 15 years, like, if you bought, you know, Bitcoin when you were, like, let's say 60 years old, now you're 75, that's a hard 15 years, man. Like, when you get up to that age, your mental faculties are just not anywhere near where they used to be, right? It really accelerates at that age. I mean, I've seen that personally with different family members where it's just like, whoa, you know what I mean? And so it's crazy to think that somebody who is, like, very intelligent could fall for something like this. But at the same time, like, social engineering scams, they can work, even on people who are smart even. But I think it's more likely that it's an elderly person that was targeted. Maybe it's someone who doesn't even really understand cryptocurrency that much, but just happened to make a good investment. These things happen. So it's hard to speculate. As an aside, too, like, cryptocurrency, like, social engineering hacks are going to get worse and worse with AI as well. Because you'll be able to, like, literally mimic somebody's appearance and voice and everything and do, like, a FaceTime call. Hey, mom, can you go to my wallet? I need you to send me Monero really quickly, right? And it's just some Indian, like, you know what I mean? I'm telling my, like, I have with my family, we have like a safe password phrase kind of thing. And I encourage people to do that with your families as well, because this shit's gonna get weird. And you know, I also told my parents I wouldn't call them like that anyways, but you know what I mean? But yeah, people are gonna get tricked like that. So, like, social engineering attacks, they happen. I want to get more information on the story because it is a lot of fucking money and it does seem very sudden, but that is what we're being told. So is this a good thing or is it a bad thing, right? You know, we have the price retracing now, you know, we're going to get some negative press, right? What's going on here? Well, come on, guys. You should know how I think about these things, right? I wrote this manifesto, Darknet Market Maximalism, for a reason. I want you right now, go to the front page of CNBC and look at their top cryptocurrencies, right? They list, it's like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Doge, and Ripple, right? Well, if you're somebody who doesn't follow cryptocurrency, cryptocurrencies like these are the ones you're probably going to know. You probably won't know Monero, but you'll know Bitcoin, Ethereum, right? Especially. And the thing is, in this tweet from ZachXBT, what does it say? Well, it says Monero was used. And then it says, and also Bitcoin was bridged to Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin. But it's very clear, though. Monero was used instead of these other projects. Why was Monero used and not Bitcoin? Right? That's what the normie reading this headline is going to say. They're going to say, huh, why was Monero used? Why wasn't Ethereum used? I thought Ethereum had smart contracts, right? They're like scratching their heads. Well, we do see that Ethereum was bridged to, right? Using the Thor chain network. So Thor chain is also getting a rub from this for what it's worth. But Monero is definitely mentioned at the start of this, and it was probably the majority of where the funds were going. And it makes sense. Monero is available via these instant exchanges, and they're just hitting the buy button, and they're buying as much Monero as they can, as quickly as they can. But again, like from the perspective of the simpleton who like doesn't understand cryptocurrency, this is like advertising. Like this is advertising to them, like, hey, Monero works, right? Because it's like, wow, someone with that much money needed to hide it, and they use this thing called Monero. That is the translation of this story. That is what they're reading. This exposure for Monero is proof that it works. A hacker with a large sum of money used Monero. And you know what? This will happen again and again and again. Why? People need privacy. And hackers, they need privacy. And that's the thing about digital cash. It's needed. And so this is not going to go away. Like things like this will continue to happen. It's inevitable. It's unfortunate. And let me be clear here. We're not celebrating some, you know, innocent person getting robbed. Okay. Obviously that's effed up. You know, we're not endorsing that. We're not happy about that. Okay. But it is having an impact on the price. And because privacy is needed, it's inevitable that Monero will grow. So yes, there's going to be crime. But the thing about crime is that it's reported in the news, and it's usually like large sums of money. So that's why we can point to these as examples. The majority of privacy, though, will be good, right? It'll be people who are just good people. But of course, from the perspective of the state, we're all criminals. So it doesn't even really matter. Now, to be clear, like, I'm not celebrating this hack. I'm not celebrating the fact that someone lost a lot of money. You know, that's really fucked up. And it's unfortunate. But it's the real world. Okay? It's things that happen. It's the free market. And this is proof that Monero works. And, again, it's unfortunate. But the bigger reality here is not this event. It's not events like it, and it's not good events that are about privacy and large scale good events that need privacy, right? It's about privacy in general. It's needed, and events that are bullish for privacy are going to continue to happen, whether they're evil or whether they're good, because there's also very good things that will need to have demand for privacy, like people in totalitarian countries who need cryptocurrency privacy really quickly. If we are to expect that cryptocurrency is going to grow over time in usage, it will need privacy. So it's inevitable that something like Monero will continue to grow, right? So that's the thing. Like, this is just propaganda for Monero, as far as I'm concerned, because Monero was used And nothing, none of these other cryptocurrencies were looked at in the same way. As well as Thorchain, for that matter. Thorchain was also used. So they get a rub as well. So yeah, the hack that happened last year was very similar. Real quick, this happened on April 28th, 2025. It says here, 9 hours ago, a suspicious transfer was made from a potential victim for 3,520 BTC. They have the theft address, and it says, shortly after, the funds began to be laundered via six instant exchanges and was swapped for Monero, causing the Monero price to spike 50%. Basically the exact same story. The people in this attack, by the way, they were never found. Interesting. But yeah, they got away with it. It seems like there were suspects that were named, but I don't see any information about arrests, and who knows if these suspects were even real. So ZackXPT reported this. He didn't find it, though. So he gave it a good college try, but he got screwed over by Monero. Sorry, Zach. Is he going to find these guys this time? Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. You know, he reported it, but you know, that's not that impressive. He's got, you know, access to all this behind the scenes stuff with him being an investigator of chain analysis. I'm sure he has like tons of data that we would never see. So yeah, it makes it easier for him. Regarding the possibility of a PSYOP, it is absolutely a possibility, 100%. And I don't want people to think I'm ruling it out because I'm saying that the hack story is plausible. I don't want people to immediately say it's this thing or the other thing. We have to be open-minded here, right? Absolutely be open-minded. The story is kind of weird. It's believable, but weird, right? What will be absolutely imperative, though, is to see how this is presented to us by the media. Because one very interesting thing about this hack, it happened at a Friday afternoon, right? So it's missing the news cycle. And next Monday, so I'm recording this on Sunday, but on Monday, perhaps we start to see mainstream articles come out about this hack. And if that starts to happen, we will have to study to see how it's being presented to us. Because this is key. If it's actually just a story about somebody who got their funds hacked and we have more information on that, I will actually be believing the mainstream story even more, or the ZackXBT story. However, if it's presented in a way that's very odd and mysterious, I think the chances of this being a PSYOP may increase. So what do I mean by a PSYOP? Well, I've seen different interpretations of how this could be fake, or a faked story and not a social engineering attack. One is a whale who is offloading to Monero. I don't believe this at all. First off, it's a lot of cryptocurrency being transferred, way more than someone. Like, if someone has that much cryptocurrency, like, they could do a boating accident, I suppose. But, like, they'd be totally red flagged by the feds at that point. Because their cryptocurrency probably is known. Unless maybe they were, like, a miner back in the day. I guess that's possible as well. I just find the story to be less believable. I think it's more believable in smaller amounts. Where somebody claims to have been hacked. Where maybe it was like $1 million worth of Bitcoin that got quote unquote hacked. That's a lot more believable, I think. But this is like $280 million worth of Bitcoin and Litecoin. I don't see that as being as likely. On the other hand, what if this is wallets of cryptocurrency owned by feds and they just did it themselves? And then reported it to ZackXPT. ZackXPT may even be in on it, right? And so then we have all this, oh, well, look, all the Bitcoin and Litecoin left these wallets and went in these exchanges. We got to now find these people, guys. You know, it's all fake. That's possible. Absolutely. But why would they do that? Well, there's three reasons. I'll go over each of them. One, they could do a false flag tracing. Two, they could smear Monero, which I think is, that's 100% going to happen either way. And the third thing, they want to attack coin swaps. And a lot of people miss this, but I really want people to focus on this because this is the big one of the three. So let's go back. The first thing, possible tracing. So what they could do is they could set up this, you know, this hack, and then they could trace it, and they could say, "Oh, hey guys, I guess Monero is traceable." I would view this as plausible, but kind of eh. And the reason for that is it wouldn't really have an impact on people using Monero. We've seen Monero smeared through headlines time and time again about it being traceable. And it's just like privacy is so nuanced that like it's very easy to explain to somebody that, well, it's traceable because this guy got caught and he had Monero. And it's like those types of people who are convinced by Monero being traceable, they're just not worth our time. You know, Monero is going to continue to be used by people who need privacy because it's the best choice for privacy. And that's what the free market's dictating by economies that are dependent on privacy. That's why, like, after these different attacks on Monero, like the Cubic attack last year, did it have an impact on the darknet usage of Monero? No. Zero impact. And so, like these things with, like, if you have a concern about Monero being attacked through, like, these articles, just don't, because the people who are, like, reading these articles are not privacy advocates anyways. So they won't understand the nuance of how Monero can be traced, because Monero can be traced. If you want to understand how Monero can be traced, by the way, going to plug it, I have a series on my channel called Attack of the Poison Outputs. It's 30 parts. It's free. I'm going to be making more videos on it in this series later this year, but for what it's worth. But I talk about how Monero works and how it can be traced, basically. It's a sequel to Breaking Monero. And so Monero absolutely can be traced, but quote-unquote traced. It's nuanced is what I'm trying to say. So they could – what I'm trying to say is a possible PSYOP would be the feds doing this like hack and then saying, oh, we can trace Monero. Why I think that's unlikely too is that's like way too much money to be doing something like this, right? Why would you need $282 million worth of whatever cryptocurrency to do this sort of hack? You could do this with a couple hundred thousand dollars and just, you know, sensationalize it and have the media all repeat it, right? That's why I think that's kind of unlikely. And that's also why I think it's unlikely for the negative feedback and also the coin swap sites as well. It just is like, do they really need to use that much money? Maybe it does capture headlines more, but I don't know. It seems kind of wasteful. But then again, the government wastes money all the time. So, you know, I guess by doing this attack, they could, you know, stress test these coin swap sites, get a better idea of the infrastructure of them, I guess. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. I guess it could also be like that actually is true. It could also be like them seeing how these exchange websites react and building better infrastructure for if an attack were to actually happen or a hack were to actually happen, they'd have easier ways of tracing cryptocurrency going in and out. So that's actually something I just thought of while talking this out, is like perhaps they're like setting up these situations where it's like they're testing this out in a real world scenario and just seeing how things react and adjusting their chain analytical technology and seeing what they can or can't trace, and so they can improve their technology. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. They're just fucking around and we're just pawns, right? And they're just screwing around with us. Very plausible. So that's another thing. Maybe that's why they would want to do this, is to kind of just get more data on how Monero works through these coin swap sites. So that's an interesting one. The third thing here, negative feedback of Monero. You know, just negative press. Monero is being used by criminals. I mean, we've seen that over and over again. I don't really think this is it, but it's something, right? And lastly, though, is coin swap sites. And yeah, this is a big one. Instant coin swap sites, especially ones with no KYC, is really hurting law enforcement because it just adds another hurdle they have to jump through. And it's very frustrating because they can't stop these exchanges from converting. And yeah, it's very difficult for them. And so anyways, I do think these sites are going to start to come under regulatory pressure. And I guess the reason I think this makes the most sense from a PSYOP perspective is it would actually kind of check all the boxes of why this happened, right? It's a hack, right? So it's a bad thing. It involved a lot of money. So why someone who has a lot of money needs to hide it really quickly. How could they do that? Well, they could use these coin swap sites that don't force you to provide KYC. So it actually has a reason why you would need so much so much value, right? Because in the other examples, like a possible tracing, you don't need $282 million worth of Monero, right? You don't need $282 million of Monero to smear all Monero users as criminals, right? But you would need it to demonstrate that there are these coin swap websites. It's like you can sensationalize it. Like, how is it possible that someone with that much cryptocurrency can just hide it immediately? Well, there are these shady non-KYC platforms where criminals go and hide all their money and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, you can then later attack that through regulation. So it's going to be very important to wait on this story, because this is not over yet. We're going to get more information over the next week, and then we will adjust our perspective. I am still of the opinion that this is probably just a social engineering attack that happened, and that this is something we're going to see more and more of. But if we start to see it weaponized, which we could, then we'll have to, well, just follow it, right, and just see what happens, because this is the nature of cryptocurrency and the nature of how digital cash is attacked. All right, next up, we got to talk about Cake Wallet. They added Zcash, and a bunch of people are freaking out. Okay, so here's the thing with Cake Wallet, guys. Cake Wallet is like not a hardcore wallet. Okay, so like when I'm seeing people like getting all like butthurt about Cake Wallet adding Zcash, it's kind of like, guys, it's a wallet with an exchange on it with other trash cryptocurrencies also included. It like makes sense that they would add Zcash, you know? Like, I don't even like dislike Cake Wallet. I use Cake Wallet and I've used it in the past. I think it's a great service. But the way I view Cake Wallet is that it's basically an exchange wallet, okay? It's a wallet with a built-in exchange. And that's very convenient. I'll give you guys an example. Once I was on vacation, I was in Reno, actually. And I went to a Bitcoin ATM, and I swapped my Monero for Bitcoin, and I was able to get cash, non-KYC. It was awesome. And it was because I was using Cake Wallet. Did it all right there. Bing, bang, boom. Super convenient. So there's definitely use cases for something like that. However, Cake Wallet, it's not like a hardcore wallet, though. Like, you know, if you're using, like, if you're using Monero in a situation where you want, like, strong OPSEC, I'm not even going to recommend a mobile wallet to begin with. I think that's just a bad idea. I would recommend the GUI, the CLI. I'd recommend Feather, you know. There's, like, much better options than using Cake Wallet. Much more hardcore options. Options like, for example, if Feather, if they were thinking about adding, or if they did add Zcash, I would be pissed off. because that's a legitimate wallet, right? Of course, they're not going to, because that's they would never do that. But I'm just saying that would cause an uproar, in my opinion. Furthermore, Cake Wallet, they already have the Monero.com wallet, and that is a Monero-only wallet. So, like, if you're upset about this, just use the Monero.com wallet. It's basically the same thing, but it's Monero only. A lot of this just seems like rage for, like, no reason. Like, you guys got to just, like, understand that Zcash, it is pumping right now. It's popular. From a financial standpoint, it makes sense for Cake Wallet to add it. Like, Cake Wallet already has complete trash on there. All right, so this is what Cake Wallet supports. Monero, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, good so far. Tron, ugh. Solana, ugh. Polygon, I don't even know what that is. Nano, ugh. Bitcoin Cash, okay. Xana, ugh. Decred, ugh. Wownero, based, but like, if we're being honest here, it's shit. So like that's like a pretty bad list of cryptocurrencies, with the exception of like a couple, right? And then now you're adding Zcash on it. Honestly, I would rate Zcash like middle of the pack there. I mean, it's definitely better than Solana. You know, I'm not going to ever use Solana in my life. I don't know what Tron or Polygon does. Maybe I'm just a boomer, but like I have no idea what that even means. I don't know. Decred, I've never used it. Xano. Into the trash it goes. But like, yeah, like if you're like getting upset about this, you guys just step away, step back, just like take a deep breath. This is a nothing burger. I will say though, a couple years ago, Cake Wallet was considering adding Zcash, and this was like kind of still when Monero was developing. I think the outrage back then was a lot fairer, I would say. But now it's definitely. It's kind of like, come on, guys. It's Cake Wallet is what it is. Like, they're gonna from a financial standpoint, add projects that they think that they're gonna get a return on, because they make their profit from that exchanging. So yeah, at the end of the day, this is a cryptocurrency exchange wallet. It's not meant to be taken that seriously, guys. And the people who are taking it like over the top seriously, you should probably just, again, take a step back. Take a deep breath, okay, and understand that, like, this is a nothing burger. It really, it's not that big of a deal. And I kind of feel bad for, like, the Cake Wallet guys, because, like, they're getting spammed by some of these Monero guys, and it's just, like, it's pretty cringe. It's just, like, why are you upset that Cake Wallet is not being hardcore? It already hasn't been hardcore. So, like, you look stupid for being angry at them, frankly. So anyway, that's that. Let's move on. We got an article from The Rage, Market Structure. Okay, let's check this out. The Senate Banking Committee's new market structure draft is dangerous slop. 163.9-year-olds walk into a bar and try to regulate the internet. On Tuesday, the Senate Banking Committee has released a 278-page draft for market structure regulation that can only be described as dangerous slop. Held by many in the industry as a positive achievement, the draft features developer protections. They're not really developer protections. No Bank Secrecy Act safeguards for self-custodial wallets, and even its potential application to DeFi, provisions that could pave the way for travel rule-like regulation, AML for web front ends, and big checks for blockchain analysis firms. Most importantly, the Senate Banking Committee's market structure draft amends the Patriot Act to create special measures directly targeted at digital assets that could lead to the restriction of privacy-enabling technologies. There it is. As Democrats, paid by big banks, and Republicans, paid by the cryptocurrency lobby, try to reconcile their differences, the rest of us are left with laws that create nonsense distinctions between technologies and hand much of Congress's authority to establish regulatory clarity to government agencies. The goal, it seems, was less to bring regulatory clarity to the cryptocurrency ecosystem, and rather to have done something after months of negotiations. According to Crypto in America, the Senate has received 137 amendments to the draft. It is scheduled for markup on Thursday, January 15th. Now, this is a pretty lengthy article, so I'm going to gloss over the majority of it and then touch at the end on the actual implications for privacy preserving transactions. So that's what's key here. But to kind of quickly summarize, it mentions that this market structure bill mentions that developers, they can still be prosecuted, which, I mean, we already knew that, right? So basically, continued prosecution on developers is to be expected under something like this. It also offers no Bank Secrecy Act protections for self-custody. So doesn't matter if you... So basically, this is an attack on self-custody, right? It doesn't matter if you have a cryptocurrency in your own self-hosted wallet. If they deem it's illegal, it's illegal. It also says here that DeFi services could be brokers and forced to apply the BSA. And this is something we've talked about with, you know, this whole DeFi thing where these are just decentralized applications, right? But now they're going to have to somehow throw on regulations on top of it. That's a problem. There's also the travel rule, like regulations for non-custodial wallets. Again, they're trying to attack self-hosted wallets. So I guess here it says, quote, the guidance is meant to be part of a national strategy for combating terrorists and other illicit financing required under sections 261 and 262 of the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act. The guidance shall be based on research on end user and counterparty risks associated with self-hosted wallets, including consumer fraud, cybersecurity, and identity verification, the use of hardware self-hosted wallets to smuggle digital assets, financing cross-border illicit activity, the use of hardware self-hosted wallets for tax evasion, asset concealment, and other considerations of the secretary may determine appropriate, as well as illicit activities such as money laundering and sanctions evasions. You guys get the idea. So basically they want guidance on self-hosted wallets, and you know what that means? More of the same. They're coming after anything self-custody, any of that they want to take over. They also want a mandate analysis for web front ends, or blockchain analysis I should say, for web front ends. Again, they want to put chain analysis on everything. They want to get rid of any type of things they can't track or trace. It's an attack on privacy. And lastly, so we're going to read this last section here. Handing authority to the Treasury under the Patriot Act. Oh, gosh. So it says here, the handing of authority to the Treasury is found in both the Keep Your Coins Act and in the Web Front and Provision under Section 5318A, referring to the Patriot Act. Namely, its provisions on international counter-money laundering requirements. Section 5318A allows the Treasury to implement special measures for financial institutions regarding transactions originating from certain jurisdictions, but also for certain types of transactions. The draft herein amends the Patriot Act's special measures to allow the Treasury to prohibit certain types of cryptocurrency transactions it deems a primary money laundering concern. These could, for example, be transactions that involve coin joins or pay joins, as the Treasury has already completed a public comment period on its so-called mixer rule, leaving only its enforcement as the next step. The RAGE has repeatedly warned of the application of the Patriot Act to digital assets in the past. Under special measures relating to certain transmittal of funds, the draft states that if the Secretary of the Treasury finds that a jurisdiction outside of the United States, or one more financial institutions operating outside of the United States, or one or more of transactions within or involving a jurisdiction outside of the United States is of primary money laundering concern in connection with illicit finance through the use of digital assets, the Secretary may, by order, regulation, or otherwise, as permitted by law, prohibit or impose conditions upon certain transmittals of funds to be defined by the Secretary by regulation by any domestic financial institution or domestic financial agency if such transmittal of funds involves any such institution, class of transaction, or type of account. For the lack of congressional protections for privacy software developers and users present in the current draft, it can be concluded that the Senate Banking Committee's market structure proposal is not so much a document that will give non-custodial developers the protections and clarity they so urgently need, but rather functions as a piece of legislation that will continue to put non-custodial developers and users of privacy software at the will of the government, leaving the door wide open to the full surveillance of all users of non-custodial software. Yep, that's it. So this is a giant piece of junk. I don't know. I don't think this is gonna pass anyways. But you know, this is what they've been talking about lately, and this is a draft. So don't get worried yet. This is not has not passed or anything. But yeah, I mean, this like checks all the boxes. They hate self custody. They hate privacy. They hate you. Okay, they hate you. They think you're a criminal. Okay, you are a criminal. Okay, by you using privacy, you are a criminal, and this is what's happening. So yeah, I'm not really surprised. I mean, was I expecting something like with you know, phenomenal coverage of our rights? Of course not. But I encourage people to read this article. It's a very thorough summary of a lot of different stuff. So I'll leave that in the timestamps. So I want to do some stats here. Now, ShopinBit, they put out their stats for 2025. So for December 2025, Monero placed number one again with 69.69% of the usage. Nice. Bitcoin came in second with 28%. USDT with 1.98%. Lightning with 0.24%. And fiat with 0.04%. Now, the 2025 scoreboard shows that Monero is number one for 8 months, Bitcoin number one for 3 months, and Tether for 1 month. Phenomenal to see, guys. I mean, this is just phenomenal that Monero has just overtaken this product. Same with coin cards. I mean, Monero is just always strong showing. And this is why we point out that Monero is used, right? These websites, these merchants, whenever they post data, Monero is always mogging every single time. In fact, I got another one here for you. This one's called Pay Per Q. I've never heard of this site. I've never heard of this site before. And it's apparently another one of these AI sites. It says, access all of the latest and greatest AI miles and tools in one place via Bitcoin, crypto, and credit card top-ups. Pay per prompt, no subscriptions. Okay. Now, I've never heard of this site, and they announced that their second highest paying method is Monero. And they never even got around to really telling anybody about it. I've never even heard of these guys. How crazy is that? And of course, number one is Bitcoin, right? But, I mean, this just goes to show you, this is a site that I've never heard of. I'm sure the majority of Monero people have never heard of it. Monero is being used the second most. I mean, that's actually really impressive if you think about it. That shows you how deep our adoption is. And of course, we also have MyNimbox. They posted payment statistics recently. Monero, number one, 42%. Bitcoin, 23%. Litecoin, 17%. Swaps, 10%. Lightning, 8%. And it's important to note, too, these guys also accept Zcash. And this is, again, what we're saying. We actually use Monero here. We're not some fraudulent tech stock. So, awesome to see. I saw an article here linked by Seth for Privacy regarding Tether. And it's about how Tether can be frozen instantly. And he has a screen cap from the article. I'm not going to read the whole article, but screen cap says, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal reported on the use of stablecoins, specifically Tether's USDT, to circumvent sanctions imposed by the United States on Venezuela. The report indicates PDVSA, which is the country's state-run oil company, began demanding payments to be made via Tether in 2020, with as much as 80% of the country's oil revenue now arriving by way of the stablecoin. Notably, Tether also froze $182 million worth of the Tether stablecoin in five separate addresses on the Tron blockchain on Sunday. At this point in time, it is unclear if these funds were associated with the sanctions-avoiding activity by the Maduro regime. In a statement provided to the block, a Tether spokesperson indicated these funds were indeed associated with a law enforcement investigation that has been ongoing for months. Now, I point this out because, you know, stablecoins, they're all the rage these days. They're gaining in usage around the world. But yeah, because of these regulations that have been passing in Congress and stuff, yeah, they can be freezed. And so a lot of these sanctions evading people or people who are money laundering, they're going to find out. And this is just going to increase the demand for privacy long term, We're seeing it right now play out, but a lot of people just aren't aware of what this actually means for the future. And it's kind of like, okay, we're establishing the fact that Monero is used for peer-to-peer commerce, and it's mogging pretty much every other cryptocurrency with the exception of Bitcoin. So I think you are going to see slowly but surely an organic growth in Monero usage in these types of use cases. The only thing, though, is Monero just isn't as established as something like a stablecoin. It's just not. So I don't expect this to happen overnight. But long term, I do expect a shift because, I mean, we're seeing with this market structure bill that they're trying to pass, they want more control over self-custody. They want control over anything that can evade any type of regulations, right? So you need that peer-to-peer digital cash. So I'm being a dead horse here. You guys get it. But I thought that was interesting. I'll link that tweet, which has a link to the entire article if you want to read that. Next up, important news, guys. Please run your node with the new MRL spy node ban list. So if you have been running your node and you haven't updated your spy ban list yet, please do so. There was a good summary that was posted on Monero Town by Ruckneum, which I will link in the description. And yeah, it's just important that you guys update this ban list because this is a hostile spy node network. And the more we block them out, the better. So if you are running your own node, please do so. And I will link this in the description so you can do that. And also update your nodes if you haven't yet. There was a node update that happened recently with some optimizations. So you should do that if you can. And lastly, some good news. MoneroCon 2026 is happening. It takes place June 5th to the 7th in Warsaw, Poland. I'm going to be trying to go. I'm very happy this is happening. And it's going to be put on by Orange Friend, a friend of the show, or they're a friend of the show. And, you know, it's awesome to see just because, like, you know, the original team, they weren't able to handle it. And Orange Friend, they've put together so many meetups around the world. And so it was logical that they stepped in. They said, hey, we want to make this happen. And there's, I guess, a Bitcoin film festival that's taking place like next door. So this is just a great, this is awesome that they did this. And so I'm really happy that MoneroCon is happening. Who knows? Maybe I'll try to speak there. So anyways, if you are interested in attending a Monero-related event this year and you can't go to Monerotopia, MoneroCon is going to be in June. So check that out if you can. All right, well, we've reached the end of the program, and now we got Super Chats. All right, well, xmrchat.com/Xenu is where you can go to send me a Super Chat, and I'll read it out on the show, no matter how dumb it is. Like this first one. Okay, this is from, oh God, this is from Don't Be Gay, who donates 0.02 XMR. Well, thank you very much. And he has a whole fucking paragraph here. I'm going to read it because he donated. And so, hey, you guys out there, you can send me shit and I'll read it too, even if it's retarded. Okay, here we go. This is the end of a storyline that's been ongoing over the past couple episodes. It's been thrilling, let me tell you. We've been really looking forward to it. Okay, here we go. It says, Mr. Xenu, sir, I must thank you for calling out my gay behavior as it caused me to reflect on what could be the cause of that sudden degenerate urges. Suddenly I realized the same day I had the gay thoughts was the day I bought 69 Zcash coins. We're halfway through, by the way, okay? I know, it's a barn burner. Here we go, second half. following this revelation, I deposited my Zcash to an exchange, and the moment I hit sell, wow, let me tell you, all the gayness exited my body instantly. I am now cured of the gay, sir. I can't believe I fell for it. Zcash's Twitter account told me being a gay trans was cool. All right, well, there you go. Thank you for the donation. I like how at this point, like 10% of my super chats are just calling Zcash gay. we're reaching that point. You know, we got to pump those numbers up, guys. I want that. I want that like 25% end of the quarter. I gotta pump these numbers up, man. But yeah, that was that. And let's move on. Oh, it looks like Robot wants to say something. Yes, Robot?
Beep boop. That story was more interesting than you pretending to be an intellectual, beep boop.
Ugh, all right. Well, we got two more. The first one's from Jay Stark, who gives 0.01776 XMR. Thank you, Jay Stark. And he says, someone trusting Monero to protect hundreds of millions of dollars, even if stolen, from state surveillance is one of the greatest endorsements of Monero. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. It's an endorsement. 100%. And really, this, like, attack, it should be used as propaganda. That was one thing I found kind of surprising. There were a lot of Monero moon boys who were like, saying it wasn't a hack and saying that it was all propaganda. It's kind of like, what are you guys talking about? Like, this is like something that we should add to the collage of other Monero instances where it was used for criminal activity. Like, it's literal proof of how Monero works. So yeah, I mean, that confused me because, it's an endorsement for sure. So thank you for that, Jay Stark. And lastly, we got a donation from Daedalus, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thanks, Daedalus. And he says, got three people at work on Monero the day of the giant pump. I've been talking about it for over a year, yet only when it moons do people start getting interested. Either way, my boss got real in on it now, and now only wants to use XMR to buy precious metals. That's pretty awesome. Well, thank you, Daedalus. I mean, that's how it is. I don't tell people to buy. I just tell people I use Monero and I'm involved with the project. And that's what happens. When the number go up, I start getting some texts like, hey, about that Monero thing, like things like that. And the only thing I don't do is like, I don't tell them to buy or anything. I'm just like, oh, just do your own research, you know, but I'll tell them about the project and stuff. But yeah, you know, I have some friends that are just like total idiots though. And if they start texting me about Monero, then I'll know that's the time to sell. Hasn't happened yet. Okay. I'll let you guys know if it does happen. Anyways, guys, we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you want to send a donation, xmrchat.com/Xenu. I also have a donation link in the description. And I have merch, antimoonboy.com/merch. Drop me a like or a subscription or comment or something. If you enjoy the content, I'd appreciate the engagement. Yeah, I hope you guys have a great week. See you next time.